Rachel as they baptised. It's been great to celebrate what God has done in their lives. During the last few weeks, as I've talked to people about baptism, one phrase has stuck in my mind. It's a phrase that John has. Oh, hang on. We're back in action again. That's okay. I want to follow Jesus. John has said that to me a number of times. I just want to follow Jesus. I want to follow Jesus. And it's really struck me as he has said that. And I've thought through, what does that mean? What does it mean when someone says, I want to follow Jesus? I mean, I think in many ways it really sums up very beautifully what it means for us to be Christians. We are followers of Jesus. We are his disciples. And yet it can be a somewhat confusing statement too. Now, two people could say, I want to follow Jesus, but mean two very different things. We can sing a song, we sing it here. I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. And I suspect that even in this room tonight, there'd be different opinions about what we're actually saying when we say, I want to follow Jesus. What do we mean when we say, I want to follow Jesus? How do we become followers of Jesus? What must we do to ensure that we keep on following Jesus well? It can get a little bit confusing, but it doesn't need to be confusing. It's not meant to be. It might be hard. In fact, it should be hard sometimes to follow Jesus. Jesus himself says that it will be hard. It is the narrow road, he says. But it's not meant to be confusing. And so what I want to do this evening, just briefly, on a night when two of our people have publicly declared that they want to follow Jesus, is to open God's word in that passage that's been read for us and allow it to help us be clear about what it means when we say, I want to follow Jesus. Whether you call yourself a follower of Jesus or not, I hope that you'll just listen to what God's word is saying to us tonight and that you'll be challenged to consider what it looks like for you yourself to follow Jesus. Hannah read a passage there from John's Gospel, and in this passage we have the first recorded instance when people start following Jesus. And I hope that as we look through this passage it will help us to understand what we mean when we say, I want to follow Jesus. And so I'm going to suggest tonight that it means three things. This passage at least teaches us three things about what we mean when we say, I want to follow Jesus. The first thing we are saying when we kind of make that statement is this, that I trust Jesus to save me. I trust Jesus to save me. John the Baptist has been busy there in this passage preparing the way for Jesus, and he's urging people to repent in preparation for Jesus coming. He's been baptizing, and now Jesus has arrived. John gets to it really quickly in his gospel. And in verse 29, before the passage we read this evening, John cries out, look, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And the following day, as we see in our passage tonight, he sees Jesus again and he exclaims, look, the Lamb of God. These are profound statements. They point us back to the Old Testament sacrificial system, and especially to the Passover. If you're here regularly, we're doing a series in Exodus at the moment. And so last week, Greg actually dealt with the Passover. He looked at the sacrifice of the lamb in the Passover meal. And there, the sacrifice of this lamb and then painting its blood on the frame of the door there in Egypt was going to protect Israel from the judgment of God. So that Egypt would experience the judgment of God, but Israel was spared. Everyone who trusted in the blood of the lamb that was sacrificed would be spared from judgment. And so when John declares that Jesus is the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sins of the world, he is declaring that Jesus is the one who came from God to bring salvation once and for all to all who trust in the blood of Jesus. So what do John's followers do when they hear John make this very profound statement? Look at verse 37. When the two disciples heard him say this, They followed Jesus. They follow him. In choosing to follow Jesus, they are acknowledging and recognizing that what John said about Jesus was true, that he was the Lamb of God and that he was the one who could save them. They knew the implications of what John was saying. In following Jesus, they were acknowledging that Jesus was the one who would bring true and lasting salvation for the people of God. And they were saying, in essence, we trust Jesus to save us. Now, if I try to put myself in their shoes, I suspect they had lots of questions at that point. They didn't have it all worked out in their heads. You know, how would Jesus bring salvation for them? Well, even after he died, before he rose, they still hadn't worked it out. So they wouldn't have had any idea that Jesus would have to go to the lengths that he went to save them. They would never have thought that about 3 years later from this time, that Jesus would hang there on a Roman cross, enduring the fullness of God's wrath against sin for all time, and dying there on the cross, a sacrificial death, a substitutionary death, which would prove more than sufficient to bring salvation to anyone who trusts in Jesus. That his death would bring salvation from their greatest enemies, sin and death and Satan. They probably hadn't worked all that out yet, but they just knew that Jesus was the one who would save. And so they trusted him. They knew this was the Lamb of God, the long-awaited one who would bring salvation to the whole world. And so they followed him. Once they knew who he was and what he was going to accomplish, they were compelled to follow him. They were disciples of John. They could have said, we'd prefer to stay with John. Some of John's disciples, it would seem, did stay with him. But they said, no, we're going with Jesus. I want you to imagine for a minute that you've gone for a bushwalk out Sanford some way, and you go for a bushwalk, and you're in the jungle. It's jungle out there, isn't it? It's pretty thick. Like, and the sun's going down, and suddenly you realize you've got no idea where you are. Okay, you're at this kind of, you're stuck in the bush there, and there's kind of, you've got no idea where how to get out. The sun's going down, it's starting to worry you a little bit. What are you going to do in that situation? Well, imagine you had someone there with you who was equally clueless as you, but they said, you know what, I feel like if we keep going this way, we'll find our way out. Is that compelling? It's hardly compelling, is it? That person is not qualified to take you to safety. Maybe they're right, maybe they could guess the right way out, but I don't feel like I'd be compelled to follow someone who seems just as lost as I do. But if a ranger from the national parks or someone who's experienced in that place comes and says, I know the way out, I've been here before, I know where all the tracks are, I know how to get out of this place, follow me, then I've got someone worth following. That person is qualified to bring me safely. I'm compelled to follow. And the question is, why is Jesus worth following? It's not because he is simply a wise teacher or an impressively moral and religious guy. These are important things, but they're not compelling. But if he is the Lamb of God, who has the power to save me from sin and Satan and death, now there's a reason to follow him. I am compelled. He is qualified to bring me to safety. And it makes a whole lot more sense to say, I trust Jesus. I will follow him. And so, friends, to say that you follow Jesus is to say that you trust Jesus to save you. That's the very essence of it. What this means is that to be a follower of Jesus, you have to first acknowledge that you need to be saved from something, from sin, from the judgment that we deserve, from death. And once you acknowledge that, it means recognizing that Jesus is the only one who can save you. That he is the Lamb of God who died for you. That he took the punishment you deserve for sin. That he experienced God's judgment on your behalf. And that because he did this, he has the power to save you. So, when you say you follow Jesus, John, when you say you follow Jesus, Rachel, when you say you follow Jesus, first you are saying, I trust Jesus to save me, no one else. I want to ask all of you here tonight, have you made that decision, that confession, I trust Jesus to save me, that he is the Lamb of God, he takes away the sins of this world, he's the only one who can take away my sins. Have you made that confession? To be a follower of Jesus, you have to trust that Jesus is the only one who can save. That's the first thing. The second thing that we mean when we say, I want to follow Jesus, is this, that I want to know Jesus personally. Look at verse 38. Or verse 37. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want? What do you want?" It's as though there's a double meaning here. I wonder sometimes whether, as we looked at this passage, whether Jesus was kind of just saying, what do you want? Like, you stop following me. It's kind of weird. Like, you know, they just started following him. But there's something a lot more going on than that, isn't there? This is not really a question that deals with the narrative. It's an existential question, a deep probing question for their hearts. What do you want? He wants to test these men. He wants to make sure they're not just kind of jumping on the Jesus bandwagon because he's the next good teacher. No, what do you want? Look what it says in verse 38. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent the day with him. It was about 4 p.m. They don't really answer his question straight away. I mean, they probably had so many theological concerns and questions in their minds. They probably wanted a lot from Jesus at that stage, and they didn't feel like they could actually articulate them all in that moment. So they kind of just asked him a question, "Where are you staying?" But even in this interaction, we see an insight into what they really wanted. What does a follower of Jesus really want? It's to know Jesus personally. It's to get to know the one who is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. They'd heard this about him, and so they had begun to follow Jesus. And now they wanted to get to know him better, to be taught by him, to sit with him and to spend time with him, to learn what he had to give to them. And so you can imagine the feeling in their hearts when Jesus has come, and you will see the invitation that he made. They've been invited to spend time with the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's an amazing invitation. And this invitation marks the beginning of this very personal, intimate relationship that Jesus would share with his followers from this point onwards. The invitation that Jesus makes to his followers to know him personally is an invitation that no true follower of Jesus in their right mind can refuse. Jesus invites us to know him personally and intimately. Now, we have lived here in Brisbane for over 3 years now. And in the first year we were here, we came from Sydney, we tried really hard to maintain the personal friendships that we had in Sydney. You know, lots of people at church who were friends with and that kind of thing. And we, you know, that lots of visitors came and we would try and talk to them all the time, Facebook, text message, phone, all that kind of stuff. But over time, we have found it, as the last couple of years have unfolded, it's increasingly difficult to maintain all those friendships. It's just too hard. Even with all those things, Facebook and so on, the distance makes it very hard to maintain personal relationships with all those people. Long-distance relationships are, in general, hard work, and often they just don't work. And it's sad, then, when people try to have a long-distance relationship with Jesus, it doesn't make sense. They say they want to follow him, and yet they ignore his invitation to come and spend time with him. It makes no sense to say you want to follow Jesus, but then to ignore his invitation to get to know him personally, to keep him at an arm's length. So simply put, passionate followers of Jesus, those who say, I want to follow Jesus, will want to know him more closely, more intimately, more personally. They will spend time listening to him. For us as Christians who believe in the Bible, that the Bible is God's word, it simply means opening his word. I know that everyone struggles in different ways with different things, and some people find reading the Bible a challenging thing to do. But in one way or another, it is to open the Bible and to hear what Jesus is saying to us, to spend time with him. And people who want to get close to Jesus and know him personally will pray. They will let him know what is on their hearts. He already knows, but he wants to hear and answer our prayers so that we would draw near to him in prayer. Friends, if you claim to follow Jesus, and I want to encourage you tonight, don't let his invitation go to waste. He says, come and you will see. Come and you'll get to know me. This is an invitation into the life of Jesus, an invitation to know him in a really deep and personal and intimate way. There is no other worldview or religious system or anything that offers the kind of thing that Jesus is offering here. Personal relationship with the living God. You wrap your heads around that. That is astonishing. God says, you can come and have a relationship with me. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. What do you want? Let me ask you tonight, what do you want? It's the question that Jesus asks to those who have started to follow him. What do you want? When you say you want to follow Jesus, you are saying that you want to know him personally. That's the second thing that we get out of this passage tonight. And then lastly, we've seen that you trust Jesus to save us, that we want to know Jesus personally. But the other thing that we're saying when we say we want to follow Jesus is that we will embrace the new life that Jesus offers. Those who follow Jesus, and maybe you have really understood this for yourself, are radically transformed. There is a radical transformation that takes place for those who have declared that they follow Jesus. That's the testimony, I believe very much that's Rachel's testimony. That's the testimony of John. That's the testimony of those who have come to put their trust in Jesus. That even in ways that you may not understand right now, Jesus is bringing transformation to those who follow him. Look at verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what Jesus had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Kephas," which, when translated, is Peter. Jesus renames this man Peter, or Kephas, which meant rock. And this name would define this man. It would define him and his role in establishing the church. And Peter didn't kind of say, "Oh, give me something to do." Jesus just said, "Come here. Your name is going to change. You have a job to do." Jesus simply told him that's what was going to happen. This was a big change for Peter. It would be a change that most likely would have led to his death. But it was indicative, this name change, of the kind of transformation that Jesus was bringing in his life. Jesus offers those who follow him radically changed lives. The Bible teaches that those who come to Jesus to follow him are born again. They are new creations. Jesus has begun and he continues to do a work of transformation in our lives. And so, specifically, this means he gives us a new identity. We are in Christ. You might hear that language in the church sometimes. We are in Christ, united to Christ. You know, before, I was defined by my successes and my failures. I was defined by my strengths and my weaknesses, what I was good at. I was defined by the sin that had a hold on me. All that stuff defined who I was. And Jesus says, no, when you become a follower of Christ, you receive a new identity. Now, more than anything else, I am in Christ. And that's ultimately what defines me. I am righteous because of Christ. I am holy because of Christ. I am victorious because of Christ. I am free because of Christ. I am secure because of Christ. This is where I find my identity. It is in Christ. This is the transformation that comes. So I embrace this new identity. I say, yes, this is the new life that Jesus has given to me. New identity. And he also calls me to a new kind of obedience. His Holy Spirit comes and dwells in me, in a Christian. And he changes me more and more each day so that progressively I start to live more and more the way he wants me to, or at least I should. He makes me more sensitive to his commands. The Holy Spirit helps me to see where I fall short. He empowers me to resist temptation and sin. He helps me love those people that I find it hard to love. He helps me to show compassion when I'd rather judge. He helps me to forgive when I'd rather hold on to bitterness. This is what the Holy Spirit does. This is a new kind of obedience that only comes to those who follow Jesus. This is a new life. And so I embrace that. It's a joy to pursue a life of obedience, to embrace that new life that Jesus has given me. And he gives us a new mission, a new purpose, this new mission to make disciples, to share the news of Jesus with those who need to hear it. Jesus has given me this very important job to do, to be a part of the greater body of believers who are doing the work of making disciples. That's the job of every single one of us who calls Jesus our Lord and our Savior. It's what Andrew discovered. Andrew, the very first thing he did is he went and told someone about Jesus. We found the Messiah. We found him. It's amazing. This is the new mission that we have. So we embrace this newness, this new opportunity that Jesus offers. And of course, we are also guaranteed a new future. So we have now eternity with him instead of eternity apart from him. We embrace all these things that Jesus offers to us as followers. We embrace the new life. We rest secure in the identity that we have. We pursue holiness and obedience. We persevere in the mission, the work he has given to us, and we look forward with hope to eternity. Friends, those who follow Jesus will trust him to save them. They will know Jesus personally and want to keep knowing him more and more personally each day. They will embrace the new life that he offers. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And it won't always be easy, but it's not complicated. It's hard, but it's not complicated. It's not something you need to go to university to be good at. You don't have to pass some kind of degree or test to be a follower of Jesus. You just need to trust him, draw near to him, listen to him, and embrace the life that he is offering to us. So let me ask you tonight, are you following Jesus? Are you following Jesus? Maybe you've watched the original Disney Peter Pan movie, 1953. It's a little bit politically incorrect these days. But one of the most distinctive parts of that movie, if you know it, is the song that contains these words. We're following the leader, the leader, the leader. We're following the leader wherever he may go. You're familiar with that song, right? And in this scene, in this movie, the children are playing the game, which is not surprisingly called Following the Leader or Follow the Leader. And in this game, the leader stands at the front of the line and everyone behind has to trail along and mimic the actions of the person at the front of the line. Now imagine you're playing that game, and if you were the leader of that game and you were to turn around, what would you find? Well, you'd find, hopefully, a line of people doing exactly as you do. And friends, we are called to follow the leader. We are called to follow Jesus. And I want to ask this question tonight. If Jesus was with us and he was to turn around, would he find us following closely behind him and seeking to mimic his actions, to imitate Christ? Some of you may have never ever started following Jesus. If that is you, can I invite you today to begin the journey of following Jesus, to do what John has done, what Rachel has done, what many people here have done, to put their trust in Jesus, to say, I want to follow him, to repent of your sin, to say, I have done things that do not please God, but I'm going to put them to the side. I'm going to turn around and start living a life that pleases him. Not because I have enough power in myself to do that, but because Jesus has died for me. And so I'm able to live that life. If you would like to know more about what it means to become a follower of Jesus, then I would love to chat to you. Please don't be too shy or afraid to come and talk to me. We would love to help you understand and pray with you and maybe even one day fill this tank again and celebrate your baptism as well. And if you do call yourself a follower of Jesus tonight, then I want to ask you, how are you doing? How are you doing with following him? You know, would Jesus find you following close behind? Are you still trusting him to save you, him alone? Or have you started to kind of wonder, you know, I'm a pretty good person. I was really challenged by Rachel's testimony. It's so easy to think that we are good people. We need to be broken and reminded that we need saving more than anything else. Are you still trusting him? Are you growing in your relationship with him? Or have you kind of set up this kind of awkward long-distance relationship thing with Jesus? And it's time now for you just to hear the invitation of Jesus. Come. I know I need to keep hearing the invitation. It's a beautiful invitation. Come and be personal. Listen to me. Speak to me. Are you embracing the new life that he offers, resting in your new identity, pursuing holiness, persevering in the work that he's given you to do, looking forward with hope to eternity with him? How are you doing following Jesus? Now, we're here to encourage each other in this. We're here to walk this journey of following Jesus together. So, friends, let us encourage each other in this as well. If you struggle, if you had some issues and challenges as you seek to follow Jesus, don't let them just kind of sit there and not get dealt with. Talk to somebody. Seek out some help and help each other keep on following Jesus. You know, John and Rachel, I'm so glad that you have chosen to publicly make the commitment to follow Jesus by being baptized tonight. It's a wonderful joy for us. And so in a moment, we're going to make that same affirmation as a congregation as we finish our service by singing. I want to invite the band to come up on stage now and we'll get ready for that. But as they kind of come up, I just want to say this. Following Jesus is the best decision you could ever make. It truly is. It might be hard, but it will be eternally worthwhile. There is no better decision that you can make. There is no better investment that you can make in your eternal future than to decide to follow Jesus. And so, John and Rachel, I want to praise you and praise God that you have made that commitment tonight before us. And I want to praise God that he sent Jesus. Isn't it wonderful that he sent Jesus for us? Someone that we are so confidently able to follow. He is so worth following. Friends, let us, as we sing now, not just be a church that sings, "I have decided to follow Jesus," but let us be a church that lives that out every single day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may that be true of us, that when we sing and say, "I have decided to follow Jesus," that it would be something that we truly live out each and every day. Help us to become more and more better disciples of you. Help us to trust you more as the only one who can save us. Help us to grow deeper in our relationship with you. Help us to embrace the new life that you offer. I pray that for all of us, but especially tonight for John and for Rachel. Bless them, I pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please stand and we'll sing it.